Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Wednesday, June 16th, 2021. Coming up this hour,
we're closing in on the highly anticipated meeting between Joe Biden and Vladimir Putin.
Tensions flare up again in the Middle East as Israel fires rockets into Gaza.
Investors await clues from the Fed on tapering and future interest rate hikes.
And another Wall Street executive warns the pandemic-driven boom may be running out of steam.
New York State hits the 70% vaccination rate and lifts COVID restrictions. Plus, New York City mayoral candidates campaign ahead of next week's primary. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. Kevin Durant led the Nets to a Game 5 win over Milwaukee. The Islanders lost Game 2 at Tampa Bay. Wins for the Mets and Yankees.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Amy Morris.
I'm Nathan Hager. U.S. futures appear to be going nowhere ahead of today's Fed decision. We're coming up to 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes during the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, S&P futures are down 2 points. Dow futures down 47, NASDAQ futures up 12. The 10-year Treasury up 1/32nd, the yield 1.48%. Yield on the 2-year is 0.16%. NYMEX crude up 0.2%, up 12 cents at $72.24 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.3%, up $5.70 at $18.62.10 an ounce. The euro is at 1.2123 against the dollar, and the yen is at 109.95. Amy.
Nathan, we begin with the highly anticipated meeting between Joe Biden and Vladimir Putin. The presidents are expected to speak about 4 to 5 hours. That meeting gets underway 1 hour from now in Geneva. Bloomberg's Youssef Gamaladin is there. He brings us the very latest.
This time around, the set of expectations is a lot more muted. On the Russian side, there is a keenness to work on cyberspace to prevent it from further deteriorating. On the U.S. side, it's about the ransomware attacks, about tensions with Ukraine, geopolitics more broadly, and the heavy hand in terms of dealing with domestic opposition. Outcomes that we are hearing from officials, the bar is low. There's not going to be a light switch moment, as the U.S. Secretary of State would describe it. So no strategic friendship, no nuclear breakthrough in terms of an arms control agreement. Maybe you get something around climate change and a restoration of diplomatic ties, and at least there can be a bit more business and investment flow as well.
Bloomberg's Youssef Gamaladin says the meeting will likely serve to set expectations for the tense relationship between the U.S. and Russia. The two last met in 2011 when Biden told Putin not to run for office again after more than a decade in power.
Meantime, in the Middle East, tensions are flaring once again. Israel hit Hamas with airstrikes overnight after incendiary balloons launched from the Palestinian territory set fires in Israel. The violence threatens a fragile truce that ended the most recent round of fighting last month. It poses an early test to Prime Minister Naftali Bennett, who took power in Israel just 3 days ago.
Turning to the markets now, it is all about the Fed today. The central bank wraps up a 2-day meeting and delivers a policy decision at 2 p.m. Wall Street time. We'll be looking for clues about when officials will slow the rate of asset purchases. Bloomberg Economics correspondent Michael McKee reports.
Once again, the Fed isn't expected to change policy, but this time Wall Street is hoping they might signal when they think they will. For investors and economists, this meeting will be about the dot plot, and any sign policymakers believe they might need to raise rates next year, and about any language in the statement or from Chairman Powell that hints at the timing of tapering its QE purchases. A wild card may be a change in administered rates, interest on reserves and reverse repos, to keep a flood of cash in money markets from pulling short-term rates toward zero. Michael McKee, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, thank you, Mike. And we invite you to join us for live coverage of the Fed decision and Jay Powell's news conference. Tune in for that as part of a special edition of Bloomberg Surveillance, beginning 1:30 p.m. Wall Street time on Bloomberg Radio and television.
Well, back on Capitol Hill today, we have new developments on the effort to reach a bipartisan infrastructure deal. Republicans are optimistic about their latest effort to reach an agreement. Let's get the latest live with Bloomberg's Renita Young. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Nathan. GOP senators working on a package said they're confident they can drum up more support for the effort within their party. That's even as the top Democratic senator take steps to start advancing President Biden's agenda without Republicans. Now, it remains unclear whether all 50 Democrats in the Senate would back this latest Republican offer. And meanwhile, some progressives from both chambers are growing impatient with talks and say they're concerned their priorities will get shortchanged. In New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thank you, Renita. We're also seeing moves on the regulatory front this morning. President Biden has named Lina Khan chairwoman of the Federal Trade Commission. She's a prominent advocate for aggressive antitrust enforcement against big tech. Khan's appointment comes just hours after the Senate confirmed her for a seat on the FTC.
Well, speaking of big tech, shares of Oracle are down about 5% in early trading. The world's second largest software maker reported sales that fell short of lofty expectations. Ed Ludlow has more from our Bloomberg 960 newsroom in San Francisco.
Oracle said revenue rose 7.5% to $11.2 billion in the latest quarter. Investors have been intensely focused on the cloud, bidding up the stock on the hopes the company's leadership can boost its presence in that sector. But it remains behind market leaders Amazon, Microsoft, and Google. And in this latest report, sales growth at the cloud unit fell short of what investors wanted to see. In San Francisco, Ed Ludlow, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thank you, Ed. Back on Wall Street, another executive is warning the pandemic-driven boom may be running out of steam. Citigroup Chief Financial Officer Mark Mason is signaling that revenue from the bank's trading operations will likely fall around 30% from last year.
Investment banking revenues are likely to be down in the low to mid single-digit range. We do see strong M&A performance, and we do feel good about the pipeline and the dialogue that we're having in investment banking.
Citigroup Chief Financial Officer Mark Mason says the current quarter is turning out very different than last year. His comments followed a similar warning from J.P. Morgan CEO Jamie Dimon.
Now, when it comes to private equity, Blackstone is on the verge of its biggest real estate investment yet in China. Bloomberg News has learned the firm is near an agreement to buy office developer Soho China. The company could be valued around $3 billion. Looking at futures ahead of the Fed decision this morning, S&P futures are little change to lower. Dow futures down 37 points. Now, NASDAQ futures are up 13. The 10-year Treasury is up 1/32nd, yield 1.48% on the benchmark. 10-year note yield on the 2-year, 0.16%. And checking the yield on the 30-year Treasury, it is at 2.18%. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines and a check of sports. This is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Nathan. It's 6:07 on Wall Street. Let's bring in Michael Barr to find out what else is going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Amy. Governor Andrew Cuomo lifted New York pandemic mandates effective immediately, saying that 70% of the state's adult population has now been given at least one dose of a coronavirus vaccine. Cuomo says New York, the early center of the U.S. outbreak, now has the lowest positive test rate in the U.S.
On the facts, what New York has done is extraordinary. We went literally from worst to first.
Cuomo shut down the state more than 15 months ago as the coronavirus spread. It's great news for fans of the New York Philharmonic. The orchestra will resume subscription performances in September following an 18-month gap caused by the pandemic. New York City mayoral candidates are into the last stretch of campaigning as only 6 days remain before the Democratic primary. Eric Adams still leads the field of mayoral candidates, according to the latest Marist poll, but former Sanitation Commissioner Catherine Garcia is not far behind. Garcia spoke with David Westin on Bloomberg's Balance of Power.
So it actually is opening the economy and getting people back to work. You can't do that without safety. That is foundational. But it also is, a reinforcing circle. If people don't have jobs, if people don't have somewhere to go every morning, that means that they're going to be left with not enough money for food.
Garcia is also calling for free child care for people making under $70,000 a year. Later today, another mayoral candidate, Sean Donovan, will speak on Bloomberg at 8:45 a.m. Wall Street time. Disgraced movie mogul Harvey Weinstein could be sent to Los Angeles to face additional sexual assault and rape charges as soon as next month after a New York judge denied his request to delay extradition. Weinstein, who is already serving a 23-year sentence after being convicted by a New York jury last February, appeared remotely for a hearing on the California case from his upstate prison. The judge rejected Weinstein's argument that he needed to remain in New York for medical treatment. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Amy.
All right. Thank you, Michael. It is 6:10 on Wall Street. Time now for the Bloomberg Sports Update with John Stashower.
Thanks, Amy. It was 2 years ago the Nets won the Kevin Durant sweepstakes. They signed him knowing they'd have to wait a year to get him in uniform due to his leg injury, and he was injured much of this past regular season. But last night in Brooklyn, Durant put on a playoff performance for the ages. The Nets trailed Milwaukee by 17. Durant brought them back. They led by one in the final minute.
Harden up top, being hounded by Holiday. 9 to shoot for Brooklyn. In the black, going left to right. Milking a one-point lead. Harden holds. Holiday all over him. Finds Durant. Working right. Pull up three. Good! OKC! Nets by 4!
WFAN on the call. Nets beat the Bucks 114-108. Durant played the entire game. Scored 49 points. Had 17 rebounds. 10 assists. 3 steals. 2 blocks. Nets were without Kyrie Irving, but James Harden did surprisingly return from his hamstring injury. And he played all but 2 minutes, shot just 1 for 10, but did have 8 assists. The Nets now lead the series 3-2 with Game 6 tomorrow in Milwaukee. The Islanders lost to Tampa Bay 4-2, so their Stanley Cup playoff series is tied at 1 as it comes to the Coliseum tomorrow. No team in baseball has a larger division lead than the Mets, now up 5 in the NL East. More solid pitching, this time from Taijuan Walker, and with Pete Alonso driving in 3 runs, the Mets beat the Cubs 3-2. They are 19-6 at home, and they've got Jacob DeGrom on the mound tonight. A Yankee comeback in Buffalo. They trail the Blue Jays 5-2, rally to win 6-5. Yankee bullpen with 3 2/3 innings of scoreless relief. Home runs for Gary Sanchez, Brett Gardner, and rookie Chris Gittens. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Amy?
All right. Thank you, John. The NFL is getting its first official liquor sponsor. Diageo, which owns whiskey brand Crown Royal, Captain Morgan Rum, Smirnoff Vodka, and Tanqueray Gin, signed a multi-year deal spanning market platforms, including broadcast, digital, and social channels. This deal comes 4 years after the NFL lifted a ban on the advertising of spirits on its broadcasts. Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg. Mostly sunny today. We're going up to 80 degrees. Back down to 55 tonight with clear skies. And then tomorrow, more sunshine with a high near 80. It is 62 degrees in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Nathan Hager. It is a struggle for direction for U.S. equity futures. Investors appear cautious ahead of today's policy decision from the Fed. We check the markets every 15 minutes during the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, S&P futures are little change to the upside. Dow futures are down 28 points. NASDAQ futures up 14. The DAX in Germany, little change. The CAC in Paris up 0.1%. The 10-year Treasury up 2/32 now with a yield 1.48%. And the yield on the 2-year is at 0.16%. NYMEX crude, little changed, up 5 cents, $72.17 a barrel. COMEX gold, up 0.25%, up $4.50 at $18.60.90 an ounce. The euro is at 1.2121 against the dollar. The yen is at 109.94. Amazon has announced a more than $300 million commitment from its $2 billion housing equity fund toward what it calls transit-oriented affordable housing development. The e-commerce giant is investing to build about 3,000 affordable units near its headquarters in Seattle, Arlington, Virginia, outside Washington, D.C., and in Nashville, Tennessee. Amazon shares are down 0.2% in early trading. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Nathan, thank you very much. President Joe Biden and Russia's Vladimir Putin are set to meet for the highly anticipated summit in the Swiss capital of Geneva. It is a moment of high-stakes diplomacy that comes as both leaders agree that U.S.-Russian relations are strained. Tensions have flared up again between Israel and Hamas. Israeli aircraft struck sites belonging to the Gaza Strip's ruling Hamas party today after arson balloons were launched from the Palestinian territory. The violence mars a fragile truce that ended fighting in May. In the NBA, the Nets beat the Bucks in Game 5 of the East semifinals. Brooklyn now has a 3-2 lead. In the NHL Stanley Cup semifinals, the Islanders lost to the Lightning 4-2. The series is now even at a game apiece. Major League Baseball, the Mets and Yankees won. The Red Sox, Nationals, A's, and Giants also winners. the Orioles lost. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Amy.
All right. Thank you, Michael. It is 6:20 on Wall Street. Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak. And this is Fed Decision Day. Investors waiting for clues on when the central bank will start tapering and whether there will be a shift to the hawkish side. Joining us now is Tom Porcelli, Chief U.S. Economist at RBC Capital Markets. Tom, thank you for taking the time. Always a pleasure. How important is this meeting?
It's important. I mean, look, I think that this is, you know, one of the first meetings where we can say that there's real potential for the Fed to start to make more of a meaningful shift toward the idea of removing accommodation. I mean, I think we know from recent speeches, that certainly there's that conversation is now happening in the open with Fed officials, right? I mean, I think, you know, we count no fewer than four Fed officials that have basically said, that we should start having that conversation. So in some ways, it would actually be weird if they didn't have the conversation at this meeting, right? the cat is already out of the bag on that one. So, yeah, I think in the context of, you know, us beginning the shift away from extreme accommodation, I think that it's important.
So while the Fed isn't really expected to change policy today, people are watching to see if and when they might. So what are you listening for today?
Yeah, you know, I want to see there's a couple of things I think that will be sort of tells for us. So, you know, one of them is, you know, we're looking at the 2023 median dot. You know, right now it's showing no hike. It only takes two more officials that think no hike in 23 for the median to shift. But that, again, these are not big things, right? I mean, these are all told part of this, well, sort of the beginning part of the process. We'd want to see that happen. You know, maybe a couple of more Fed officials move into the 2022 camp. Again, we saw some shift occur last go around as well. So it's you know, it's more of an evolution, right, as opposed to anything more dramatic than that. And I think Powell's tone, again, I think will be important. Look, he has been incredibly cautious throughout. Even in the face of incredibly strong growth, inflationary pressures that are building, he has continued to maintain a generally cautious stance toward the backdrop. We'll be watching closely to see if there's any even nuanced change in his tone.
We've heard a lot about those inflationary pressures on the increase, but how much influence then would the next couple of, say, job reports have on these discussions?
Yeah, I think it's a great question. Look, it's again, the transitory question on inflation. I've said this many times now. I think it's too simple an idea for what we're going through. And I think the reality is it's incredibly hard to know if it is truly transitory. So I would love to hear a little more humility from the Fed on that point. I mean, it's too difficult to know. It's a random guess right now, this notion that it's going to be transitory. I think a little more humility would be great. So, but I think to your right point, you know, I think it has been about the labor backdrop, right? I mean, we all know the Fed has a dual mandate. That's obviously a well-known idea, but it's obviously also clear that the Fed is very focused on the labor side of the equation. And by the way, if they dispute that idea, then they should do a better job of making us all believe that they really are as concerned on the inflation side as they are on the labor side. So, yeah, I do. I think that the labor numbers are going to be important. You know, as we know, the BLS, the folks that compiled that report, you know, they seem to be having seemingly some challenges with that number right now, whether it's because of sampling or adjustments. The reality is it's not quite keeping up with the ADP report, which is printing now near a million jobs. So Powell has said many times that he would love to see payrolls get back to the February 2020 level. I think that's a really high hurdle. I think that a larger percentage of people than is probably appreciated have simply retired over the pandemic window. So I don't know that you can get back to that level. So some fleshing out of that idea I think would be very useful. But again, if Powell's waiting for that number, if that's one of the lines in the sand, you know, we could be waiting for quite some time.
All right. Tom Porcelli, Chief U.S. Economist at RBC Capital Markets. Always a pleasure. Thank you so much for bringing us this preview of today's Fed meeting. And we're going to bring you that Fed rate decision and the Powell press conference today. That starts at 1:30 Wall Street time right here on Bloomberg Radio and on Bloomberg Television. Checking S&P futures now up 1.25 points. Dow futures down 18. NASDAQ futures up 18 points. 10-year price. A little change with the yield at 1.48%. Much more still to come. Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg. Coming up on Bloomberg Daybreak, we'll preview President Biden's meeting with Vladimir Putin within the next hour. We'll also get the latest on the talks for a bipartisan infrastructure deal. This is Bloomberg.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991. To Boston. Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco. Bloomberg 960. To the country. Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
Six 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Amy Morris.
I'm Nathan Hager. We're just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. We are very close to a highly anticipated meeting between Joe Biden and Vladimir Putin. The face-off between the U.S. and Russian presidents is set for about 30 minutes from now in Geneva. Bloomberg's Yusuf Gamal Eldin is there and brings us the very latest.
This is really a countdown almost to a heavyweight fight. They've met in the past under very different circumstances in 2011 when Mr. Putin was the prime minister and Mr. Biden was vice president. But this time around, the U.S. side is worried about Mr. Biden being at the end of an 8-day whirlwind tour. He's going to be tired. He's 10 years older than Mr. Putin. And so they want to make sure that the Russian leader can't exploit any gaps for domestic or even global purposes.
Bloomberg's Yusuf Gamal Eldin says the meeting between Presidents Biden and Putin is expected to last 4 to 5 hours.
Another major story we are watching, today's big meeting for the Fed. Wall Street will be looking at the policy decision for clues on the future of asset purchases and interest rates. Bloomberg's Vinny Del Giudice has more.
Recent public comments signal readiness among Fed officials to ponder tapering as the pandemic fades. But Bloomberg Economics doesn't see Fed Chair Jerome Powell or other key policymakers raring to act, especially today. There's the risk of a backfire and some sad memories. As a Fed governor in 2013, Powell was among those pushing a rollback, only to see Wall Street throw a taper tantrum at the mere suggestion. Vinny Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Vinny, thank you. Turning to Capitol Hill now, we have new developments on the efforts to reach a bipartisan infrastructure deal. Let's get the latest live with Bloomberg's Renita Young. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Nathan. GOP senators working on the deal are confident they can drum up more support for the effort within their party. That's even as the top Senate Democrat takes steps to advance President Biden's agenda without Republicans. Now, it remains unclear whether all 50 Democrats in the Senate would back this latest Republican offer. And some progressives from both chambers are growing impatient with talks and say they're concerned their priorities will get shortchanged. In New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Renita, thank you. Just watching this red headline cross the Bloomberg terminal, Elanco to buy Kindred Biosciences at $9.25 a share. S&P futures are up 3 points. Now Dow futures up 1 point. NASDAQ futures higher by 23. The 10-year Treasury is up 2/32. The yield 1.48%. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines and a check of sports. This is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Nathan. 6:33 on Wall Street. Let's bring in Michael Barr now to tell us what else is going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Amy. Governor Andrew Cuomo lifted New York pandemic mandates effective immediately. Cuomo says that 70% of the state's adult population has now been given at least one dose of a coronavirus vaccine.
Congratulations to New Yorkers because they are the ones who did it. We're no longer just surviving. We're not in our homes afraid to go out. We're not in our homes disinfecting everything that we can see.
Cuomo shut down the state more than 15 months ago as the coronavirus spread. New York City mayoral candidates are into the last stretch of campaigning as only 6 days remain before the Democratic primary. Eric Adams still leads the field of mayoral candidates, according to the latest Marist poll, but former Sanitation Commissioner Catherine Garcia is not far behind. Garcia was asked if she had a second pick in the city's new ranked choice primary.
Oh, you know, I would not be in this race if I had a strong second choice. I'm running because New York City is in a state of crisis, and we need someone who's ready to roll up their sleeves and just do the work. And that's what I've been doing for the last 14 years, is showing up for New York City and making sure that we are providing what people need, whether or not that was water or plow and snow or, you know, picking up the garbage.
Garcia spoke with David Weston on Bloomberg's Balance of Power. Later today, another mayoral candidate, Sean Donovan, will speak on Bloomberg at 8:45 a.m. Wall Street time. Meanwhile, public records show Manhattan District Attorney candidate Tally Faradin Weinstein donated $8.2 million to her own campaign in the last few weeks. Making Juneteenth a federal holiday is one step closer to fruition. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story.
So it would make June 19th national. It is already recognized by most states and Washington, D.C. The bill sponsor, Senator Ed Markey, says it will address a long-ignored gap in history, recognizing the wrong that was done, acknowledging the pain and suffering of generations of slaves and their descendants, and finally to celebrate their freedom. The support has been pretty bipartisan, so it looks more than likely to pass the House and be signed by the president. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Amy.
Thank you, Michael. It's 6:35 on Wall Street. Time now for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Here's John Stashower.
Amy, the Nets' big three was supposedly down to one with injuries to Kyrie Irving and James Harden. The Nets knew they were going to rely heavily on Kevin Durant. Harden surprisingly played, but he made only one shot. It was Durant who brought the Nets back from a 17-point deficit for a 114-108 win over Milwaukee and a 3-2 series lead. Durant played all 48 minutes, scored 49 points, had 17 rebounds, 10 assists, 3 steals, 2 blocks, hit big shots down the stretch. His coach is Steve Nash.
This is Kai. You know, James obviously is soldiering through, you know, his ailments. We're down bodies, we're wounded, and for him to have the toughness, the mentality, you know, that's what makes him one of the all-time greats. And so this is a performance that, you know, a signature performance, you know, for Kevin. And it was beautiful to watch.
Game 6 tomorrow in Milwaukee. The Knicks' Julius Randle named second team All-NBA. Kyrie Irving named the third team. In Tampa, Nikita Kucherov had 3 assists. The Lightning cooled off the Islanders 4-2. The series tied at 1. Game 3 tomorrow at the Coliseum. Another win for the Mets. Beat the Cubs 3-2. Taiwan Walker, 12 strikeouts in 7 innings. He's 6-2. Seth Lugo worked out of a ninth-inning jam for his first save. The Cubs had the tying run thrown out at the plate in the ninth. In Buffalo, Yankees trailed the Blue Jays 5-2. Got a run in the sixth inning, 2 in the seventh, another in the eighth. They beat Toronto 6-5. The Arizona Diamondbacks blew a 7-0 lead and lost 9-8 at San Francisco. The Diamondbacks have now lost 21 in a row on the road. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Amy.
All right, thank you, John. It is 6:37 on Wall Street. Time to take a look at stocks and some of the names that are moving in the pre-market. For that, we are joined by Bloomberg Stocks editor Dave Wilson. Dave, good morning.
Good morning, Amy. Looking at Oracle shares, they're down 4.5% in early trading. Fiscal fourth quarter results from the business software maker showed cloud computing revenue didn't live up to investor expectations. Now, Oracle's far behind Amazon.com, Microsoft, and Alphabet's Google unit in cloud systems. Roblox is down 8%. The online game company reported a 1% drop in daily active users last month from April. Now, average bookings per user fell from a year ago. Now, Roblox had more than doubled since going public through a direct listing in March.
Now, David, looks like we may have a new meme stock. Which company is that?
It's a rival, Amy. It's a maker and distributor of commercial electric vehicles. The company is increasingly being mentioned on Reddit investment sites. Its shares rose yesterday by 6%, and today they're adding to that gain, up 10.5% in early trading. Among some of the more established meme stocks, you've got movie theater owner AMC Entertainment down 0.75%. Video game retailer GameStop down 1%. The insurer Clover Health Investments also down 1%. And ContextLogic, the owner of shopping site Wish.com, up 1.5%. Airbnb's lower by 1%. The online rental company pays out an average of about $50 million a year to hosts and guests when bookings go wrong. That's according to a document seen by Bloomberg Businessweek, which has a story about the payouts and the safety team behind them. Look for that report in the coming issue. Kindred Biosciences has surged in early trading, up 45.5%. The developer of pet medications accepted a takeover offer from Elanco Animal Health. The deal valued at about $440 million in cash. A couple of earnings from late yesterday. The income tax preparer H&R Block down 1%. Earnings and revenue for the fiscal fourth quarter just beat estimates. Block's moving its fiscal year end to June from April, effective immediately. And Lazy Boy was down 2% late yesterday. The furniture maker and seller said expects supply issues and higher raw material and freight costs to, quote, cause some volatility in results. As far as today goes, we'll have results from the home builder Lennar. Also, the first report from actress Jessica Alba's Honest Company, which went public earlier this year.
All right. Bloomberg Stocks editor Dave Wilson will be watching for that. Thank you for joining us, Dave. Looking at stocks as a whole ahead of the open, S&P futures up 1.75 points. Dow futures down 13. NASDAQ futures up nearly 21. 10-year price 3.32 with a 10-year yield at 1.48%. Bloomberg Daybreak continues on this Wednesday morning. Stay with us. Much more still to come. This is Bloomberg. Mostly sunny today. We're going up to 80 degrees, back down to 55 tonight with clear skies. And tomorrow, the sun continues. A high near 80 degrees. It is 63 degrees in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager. On this Fed Decision Day, futures wait. Let's head right over to the First Rib Breaking News Desk for today's morning call with Bill Maloney. Good morning, Bill.
And good morning, Nathan. U.S. futures are quiet right now, with Dow futures down 18 points. S&Ps are a little changed. NASDAQ futures are higher by 18. The U.S. 10-year yield sitting at 1.48%. Gold is little changed. Bitcoin is also little changed. And Shanghai fell 1.1% overnight. While European markets are posting modest gains this morning. Back in the U.S. on the economic front at 8:30, housing starts and import and export prices. Like you said, at 2 o'clock, the Fed rate decision. And at 2:30, Powell begins his press conference. After the bell, Oracle reported its cloud unit performance disappointed. The stock is down 4.5% pre-market. And in deal news, Blackstone is said to be near a $3 billion deal for developer Soho China and Elanco to buy Kindred Biosciences for $9.25 a share. Wrapping things up, Ameren cuts a neutral at Goldman Sachs. Kinder Morgan cuts a hold over at Stifel. Live from the First Rebecca News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Nathan.
Okay, Bill, thank you. To hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type squawk on the terminal, S-Q-U-A, go. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. Russian President Vladimir Putin arrived a few minutes ago in Geneva for his highly anticipated meeting with U.S. President Joe Biden. After the summit today, Putin will hold his news conference first, then Biden. A federal judge lifted the Biden administration's temporary ban on new oil and gas leases on public lands and offshore waters. Oil industry advocates cheered the ruling after warning that any long-term halt jeopardizes jobs. Environmental groups said the ruling fails to account for the damage done by climate pollution. In the NBA, the Nets beat the Bucks in Game 5 of the East semifinals. Brooklyn now has a 3-2 lead. In the NHL Stanley Cup semifinals, the Islanders lost to the Lightning. The series is now even at a game apiece. Major League Baseball, the Mets and Yankees won. Also, the Red Sox, Nationals, A's, and Giants were winners. The Orioles lost. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg.
The following commentary is from Bloomberg Opinion.
Did no one hear Jamie Dimon warn about trading? I'm Brian Chapata, a columnist for Bloomberg Opinion. J.P. Morgan CEO Jamie Dimon surprised some analysts by suggesting that trading revenue with the largest U.S. bank will likely reach just above $6 billion in the second quarter, falling short of current estimates. Anyone who listened to him 11 months ago could have already seen this coming. For trading, because no one asked, cut it in half, Dimon said on July 14, 2020, after announcing a record-breaking $9.72 billion in second quarter revenue from trading stocks and bonds. Cut it in half, and that'll probably be closer to the future than if you say it's going to still be double what it normally runs. That turned out to be a decent rule of thumb for the current environment, which lacks the kind of volatility that defined the second quarter of 2020. Yes, the price of Bitcoin has tumbled and meme stocks continue to bedevil Wall Street, but these flare-ups are tiny in comparison to a once-in-a-century pandemic. Dimon warned that the COVID conditions were a glaring exception rather than the norm. We'll soon find out whether Wall Street leaders were ready for that reality or were caught unaware. I'm Brian Chapata. For more opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPIN Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
Bloomberg Opinion commentaries can be heard every weekday at this time, and terminal customers can read more at OPIN Go. We're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers studios. It is 6:51 on Wall Street. Time now to check what's going on in D.C. Some of our top stories in the nation's capital include President Biden's meeting with Russia President Vladimir Putin, set to happen just a few minutes from now. Putin arrived in Geneva just a few minutes ago. And a bipartisan group of lawmakers prepared to unveil a counteroffer to President Biden as soon as today for a bipartisan infrastructure deal. For more on these stories, we welcome Bloomberg government reporter Emily Wilkins. Emily, what is expected to come out of today's meeting with Vladimir Putin?
So the White House is expecting this meeting to go on for a while, 4 to 5 hours, but yet they're not expecting any sort of big breakthrough policy or any big agreement to come from these two leaders. What this really is an opportunity to do is for President Biden to address two goals. Number one, just sort of setting boundaries with Russia, saying, hey, if you guys do X, we will retaliate with Y. And then the other goal for President Biden is to find areas of potential agreement with his Russian counterpart. They'll look to potentially start a new round of arms control talks and even steps on restoring diplomatic channels. I mean, right now, the relationship between the two countries is at its lowest point since the Cold War, and there is a desire on both sides to make sure that the relationship, you know, it remains workable, that it doesn't slip any further. And so this is a chance for the two leaders to really sit down face to face and sort of have a comprehensive discussion about many issues between their two countries.
While the president's already catching some criticism from Republicans for being too soft, what is the political ramification of this? After the meeting is over, the president comes home, then what?
I think to a certain extent, Biden is hoping that he doesn't have to spend too much time on Vladimir Putin and on Russia during the course of his presidency. I mean, Biden has really been focused on China. You saw that with the G7. You saw that with NATO. You saw that with the agreement yesterday between Boeing and Airbus that was brokered between the U.S. and Europe. I mean, that's where Biden really wants to focus his time and his administration. And to a large extent, he doesn't want to have to spend a time on Russia. But at the same point, due to hacking, due to election interference, due to human rights abuses in regards to opposition leader Alexei Navalny, Biden has seen the need to take time, address this near the start of his presidency. And I think that's what his goal for the meeting is today.
Now, Emily, let's shift gears to infrastructure. That bipartisan group of senators still working on the package, but we learned yesterday the White House is going to give them maybe another week and then that's it. What does that do to talks? Is that a hard deadline?
It's not a hard deadline. It was something where the White House initially said, you know, about a week to 10 days, you're looking at about when Congress is going to go on another 3 week. It's not really a recess, but they won't be in Washington. They won't all be in the same rooms. They'll be back in their districts. And so the White House said at that point, they would sort of look and assess where things were. But Senator Chuck Schumer, the majority leader in the Senate, isn't waiting for the White House right now. He is told his Democratic colleagues that they need to begin to prepare to move a package by themselves with Democrats only. They're sort of on a two-track course right now, one where there are these bipartisan talks continuing between this group of 10 senators, and one where Democrats are slowly preparing to potentially go at it alone. And both of these things could happen. What could happen is we get a bipartisan agreement on basic infrastructure between Democrats and Republicans, and then Democrats could move their own bill that could include climate change initiatives, child care items, potentially some of what we've seen of President Biden's tax plan.
We got about a minute here, but what happens if they can't get a package together? What would happen after that?
Well, if they couldn't get a bipartisan package together, then the challenge falls to Democrats to get all of their members on board for a Democrat-only package. And this is a package that basically all Democrats want, but there's a lot of divisions within the caucus on exactly how much it should be given. And the trick of this is that they really need every single Democrat to be on board in the Senate and almost in the House as well, because the margins are so thin. So if Democrats decide to go at it alone, it's not going to be something that just snap your fingers happens overnight. It's going to be something that does take time and negotiation to get the entire party on board with the plan.
All right. Bloomberg government reporter Emily Wilkins, we're going to watch it with you. Thank you so much for taking the time. You can read more about these stories on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal. And a reminder, you can follow all of the latest on Bloomberg Radio in Washington. That's Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. Nathan.
Amy, it is coming up to 6:56 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report, brought to you by New Jersey Institute of Technology, number one in the nation for student upward economic mobility and ranked in the top 2% nationally for alumni mid-career earnings. More at njit.edu. Now here's what's making news in science, technology, engineering, and math. More promising news on the battle against the pandemic. According to a large study by the University of Oxford, Regeneron Pharmaceuticals' antibody cocktail reduced the risk of death by 20% among hospitalized COVID patients who don't have a natural antibody response of their own. Sunsets across Florida in the coming days could become even more spectacular as clouds of Saharan dust sweep across the Atlantic coast. The plume is expected to dampen storm activity but worsen air pollution, causing trouble for some people with allergies and other respiratory problems. Some health experts say the symptoms could mimic those of COVID-19. And China is set to send its first crew to the new space station tomorrow. Thursday's launch begins the first crewed space mission in 5 years for an increasingly ambitious space program. China has sent 11 astronauts into space since becoming the third country to do so on its own in 2003. It has sent orbiters and rovers to the moon and Mars as well. And that is the Bloomberg NJIT STEM report. Watching this red headline cross the Bloomberg terminal, Japan's NHK reports the Japanese government will lift the coronavirus state of emergency for Tokyo and other areas, excluding Okinawa, when it expires on June 20th. Of course, this comes ahead of the start of the Tokyo Olympic Games set for July 23rd. Watching futures ahead of the Fed decision at 2 p.m. Wall Street time. Looking for direction at the moment. S&P futures are down a point. Dow futures down 35. NASDAQ futures up 13 points. The 10-year Treasury is up 2/32. The yield 1.48%. Yield on the 2-year 0.16%. NYMEX crude up 0.25%, up 17 cents at $72.29 a barrel. And COMEX gold is little changed, up 90 cents at $18.57.30 an ounce. Bloomberg Surveillance with Tom Keen, Lisa Abramowitz, and Romain Bostic straight ahead. For Amy Morris, I'm Nathan Hager. This is Bloomberg.